Hail, cheaters, and welcome to another episode of the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast, where we discuss all things FPL. My name is Brandon, and I'm here with my co-host, Josh, otherwise known as the greatest FPL manager in all of America.
Yep. Forever in a year.
And you had a little bit of a turnaround this week, Josh. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
You get an assist from your goalkeeper. You got to be riding that wave through the whole week, right?
It is a good week. I mean,
were you fist bumping people when you got into the office on Monday?
You are joking, of course, because it's been a really terrible start to the season for me. I did, however, move up from 2.6 million to 2.1 million. So I have surged past 450,000 people. Probably all dead teams, but, you know, I've got to say,
hundreds of thousands of managers, does have a solid ring to it.
It does, yeah. And I felt pretty good. I would have felt a little better if Liverpool had been able to keep a clean sheet on Sunday, but, you know, I'll take it. I had 54 points this week, a very, very late Eden Hazard goal that probably should have been a Callum Chambers own goal. Really helped things along.
Yeah, that kind of destroyed me in our head-to-head. I lost. I mean, we'll get into the ins and outs of our squads in a little bit, just to give our listeners an idea of what we're going to talk about. First, we're going to do the rundown of our public mini-league table, Hail Cheaters. We're going to see who's coming in on top there. We also have a lot of new managers coming in for Game Week 6. And, Josh, we're going to try out a new segment that you invented.
It could be a one-time thing. We'll see.
It could. If it's terrible, you'll never hear of it again. But we're calling it Unpopular Opinions. We'll tell you what that's all about in a minute. And the fixtures from Game Week 6 that we're going to drill down into, we've selected Chelsea, Arsenal. I can't imagine what we're going to talk about there.
Boring game.
Manchester City, West Ham. Another boring game, right? I mean, you could argue that was kind of a boring game.
The first half was not boring.
And then Southampton versus Manchester United. Those are our Game Week 6 fixtures. We'll surely get into some of the other fixtures surrounding. And then we'll preview Game Week 7. Josh, we had a fun day out watching the Saturday morning fixtures here in New York.
Yeah, we went to the Football Factory, which is right by sort of in the shadow of the Empire State Building in New York. And despite going to bars in New York for years and years and years to watch soccer, you know, early in the morning, we'd never actually gone there. And it's kind of a famous bar. It's
one of these weird places that has two names. It's mm-hmm. Legends, but also the Football Factory.
Yeah, it's like a pop-up shop, you know, like you sometimes see in restaurants, like Danny Bowen from Mission Chinese will sometimes pop in at places and make food for a while. It's like a pop-up football shop.
Yeah, great vibes. We were watching some of the Premier League games upstairs, and there were all these people singing and banging on drums downstairs. And who'd have thunk it? They were all PSG fans.
Yeah, it was crazy. And they were all in Midtown, too. I mean, that's why I'd never gone there, because the thought of going to Midtown on a Saturday morning is like the absolute worst idea in most cases. But yeah, it was a great place. I'd definitely go back there again.
I thought about going there a few times because I'm a Fulham supporter, and Fulham NYC, this little fan group of Fulham supporters, they occasionally convince a bartender there to put a championship game on one of the little TVs down in the basement. But I have not been able to make it there for a Fulham game yet. But we had a great time. We'll be back.
Get there someday.
Just like Fulham, we'll get back to the Premier League, right?
Yeah, Ross McCormick, man. He's going to carry you back.
Hell yeah. Oh, okay, so speaking of Ross McCormick, I am a Fulham fan in real life, and I am also a Fulham fan in the video game FIFA. And playing as Fulham is not terribly fun. It's not like playing Real Madrid or Barcelona. But if I sound a little sluggish on this podcast, it's because I was playing as Ross McCormick up until about 3 a.m. last night, celebrating the launch of FIFA 16. And no, we do not have any sponsorship of any kind from EA Sports.
I actually don't know too much about FIFA, but you can build your rating up, right? Like it's... Eventually, if you play enough and you build up your like player rating, or whatever, you can make Fulham as good as Barcelona, right?
Well, you can't take Ross McCormick and make him like a 94 striker like Cristiano Ronaldo, but you can you can insert a fictional player, i.e. yourself, a player that you make in your mold in your own image, and then you can enter into the transfer market and play for Fulham or whoever, and as you go, like, if you score 10 shots from outside the box, your long shot ratings goes up and you'll be much better at shooting, that sort of thing.
Gotcha. And just once again, you're listening to the Always Cheating Podcast, sponsored by FIFA 16. Get out there and check it out.
Yeah, check me out. I'll be playing for the online pro club team Red Suns United with my main man, Harry Bud. Harry underscore Bud, if you're out there listening, I love you, man. So speaking of people who we have only met online, let's give the rundown of what happened in the Hail Cheaters Public Mini League this weekend.
Yeah, for the second week in a row, we added so many players that the previous first place person got bumped down to second place. So poor Ajax Treesdown, who had another good week, 63 points, high score, I think, maybe across the board.
I'm looking down the table here, and we've got his crush underfoot down there in 49th place. He got 63.
Yeah, so a couple people had 63, but I think 63 was the high score in our league this week.
Oh, I see. Hurry Kane, managed by Peter Tind, he's 65 points, sitting at 37.
All right, not bad. Shonuff is in first place. He had 44 points this week. Shonuff actually, I think he was around 1,000 in the world heading into this week. He's down to 1731 now. And I took a look at his team, and really the problem was that he had three subs that came through. Gomez, the Liverpool striker, who we will get into a little bit later, the striker defender, of course. Cedric, another defender, and Silva. All three did not play this week, and so he had to bring in Bellerin, Chadley, and Pedro, which actually worked out okay. He got, 7 points from those. So, I mean, given that he had to make three subs, that could have been worse.
Now, are you feeling a little bit of a threat here from Jesse Ruff, Shonuff manager? He is American, and I see he ranks 1,731. Is he going to take your title as the greatest FPL manager in the United States?
No. He'll never do it. It'll never happen, Jesse. Nice try. He or she, we don't actually know.
It's hard to say. And then Hippo FC, who was our number one last week, drops down to number two.
Yeah, only 3 points off first place, though. So pretty tight in the Hail Cheaters League. We're up to 58 people now.
Yeah, keep them coming. If you're listening to the Always Cheating Podcast and you still haven't joined the mini league, it's your chance to get your one shot at Josh here.
Yeah. All right, enough with the Josh stuff. No, it's your one shot to get a shot at Josh and Brandon. I linger in the 3 millionth range, so you'll probably be fine. Come and beat me and laugh at Rick Genesis. Name may change soon.
Yeah, I'm still not doing much better. I had some green arrows this week, but I'm still here at 1,454,000. So I still need a little help. I had one of those weeks where you get a random array of green arrows and red arrows. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of mixed messages. I don't really know how to feel about this week.
Yeah, I can't complain about a 54-point week. I mean, I've had so many red arrows this year that I'll take it and I'll bank my 450,000-point jump.
But speaking of not really knowing how to feel, we do want to talk about Unpopular Opinions, our new segment. Josh, can you introduce...
Great segue.
Yeah, introduce this segment for us.
All right, so Unpopular Opinions is... the idea here is that we look at bandwagons for... If you're the kind of person who's listening to this podcast, you're probably on a lot of different websites. Transfer Hub, Fantasy Football Scout, Total FPL, a lot of different sites that are available out there. So you often, you know, if you're reading the comments or you're seeing the posts, I mean, there are a few people that people are constantly talking about dropping or bringing in or making moves. So we're here to talk. We're just going to pick one player that we that runs counter to the current thinking.
Great. So,
we'll see how this goes. This could be a one-time thing.
So I'll kick things off, Josh. My main concern with my team right now is actually my midfield, or I guess it's not a concern, but it's where I'm looking to make some moves. Mm-hmm.
You don't get concerned. You get even.
I do, yeah. That's the tagline of the action movie that I'm in, called Concern Trolling. So I've got Mark Albrighton on my bench, Mesut Ozil, Andre Ayew, Riyad Mahrez, and David Silva. I feel like I could improve that a little bit. So I'm looking at midfield transfers in. What are the bandwagons? We were talking about this before we started the podcast. Even though we've watched a handful of West Ham games, I still haven't managed to form my own personal opinion on Dimitri Payet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can just listen to the, I guess, the popular opinion to go counter to this segment. He's clearly a great player, but the hesitancy is his ownership is skyrocketing. Maybe I want a differential. So you go to the third most transferred in midfielder here. It's Juan Mata from Manchester United with 49,000 transfers in, which is shocking to me. I mean, it's not shocking because they have the Sunderland fixture that's coming up, which is super enticing. Sunderland is the most garbage team in the league right now. But Juan Mata is the classic midfielder that's liable to go invisible. I guess similar to my Mesut Ozil midfielder.
Yeah, the thing about Mata is, and I think this is one of those issues that people who've played in the fantasy league for a long time have. I know I suffer from it. Which is that it's very hard to, in some ways it's an advantage, right? Because I can't imagine what like sort of string of goals and assists it would take for me to bring in Oscar at this point, right? Because I've had him so many different times over the years and I have always been rewarded with misery, you know, just total abject misery.
And also he looked terrible on that Arsenal game.
He comes and he goes and he gets injured a lot and then he just doesn't play or he doesn't start and goes three or four games where he sort of drifts in and out of the game and gets subbed in the 60th minute. But when that kind of thing happens, it's very hard to be objective about how they're playing this year, you know, or like, you know, I mean, not, you don't want to like just see them get like one goal or one assist and be like, okay, like I'm going to undo all the thinking that I have about this player and bring him in. But with someone like Mata, what's surprising, and I didn't realize this until we were sort of talking about this in the lead up to the podcast, his returns have been very consistent from week two on. He has two goals, two assists, three bonus points. He has scores of 9, 3, 7, 6, 7 in the last 5 weeks. So for that price, I mean, for that kind of Mesut Ozil level price. It's kind of tempting. The problem, and I think this is one of the problems you probably have, is that it's hard to you know you're going to get explosive returns with Juan Mata. You know, the Juan Mata at Chelsea in 2013 is not here anymore.
Yeah, you're right, and it's encouraging that you don't have the Juan Mata from last year or the year before, where you didn't even know if he was going to start. You know,
yeah,
you're very confident that he's going to start, but the other Manchester United bandwagon is Anthony Martial, and mm-hmm. I don't understand why Mata's getting so many transfers in when you've got Martial out there. That's the guy that you want to be getting. And speaking of consistency, and, you know, we're all waiting for this bandwagon for the wheels to fall off, but he scored 3 goals in 1.5 games.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy, right? I mean, that's... You know, this week sort of hinges on what you do about Anthony Martial, you know, or Martial, however you say it.
So how do you feel about that? Are you willing to take the gamble on Martial for Sunderland and then you see the fixtures turn to Arsenal, Everton, and then City?
Well, that's really the that's the concern, is that the fixtures do get a lot worse. Both the goals that he scored on Sunday in Southampton were kind of lucky. But, you know, sometimes luck is the residue of design, as they say. And, you know, like maybe he's just the kind of guy who knows how to be in the right place and his positioning is really good. And he knows how to be, he's quick to react and lethal, you know. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, it doesn't seem like, I mean, it's not even a certainty to me that he's going to start every game. I do think he'll start at home to Sunderland. But will he be starting in 3 weeks? I mean, it's not, you know, if he has one bad game in 2 weeks, is he out?
Yeah, it could be.
Part of it is a structural problem for me, too. I don't, I can't, the way I built my team, and I really regret this in hindsight, and I think I had a little bit of 2014, 2015 season thinking in my head when I built this team, but it just, when you have a 5 million striker, I mean, Callum Wilson's working out well. If you don't have Callum, like, part of the reason why my season is not going that well, too, is because I have guys like Troy Deeney on my team who are delivering okay results, you know, but nothing explosive.
Just assists, no goals.
Just assists. But, you know, I mean, 4 assists now, so I can't complain too much.
No, not at all.
Or 3 assists, I guess. No bonus points, though, fortunately. So the problem is when you have a 5 million attacker, you're kind of stuck with them. You know, I remember I had a stretch last season when Berahino was on my team, maybe 2/3 of the way through the season, and he just stunk. I mean, he just had this stretch of 8 weeks or so where he just
he totally dried up,
looked terrible. Like, it, you know, at one point I think he was actually coming off the bench. I mean, he was just so out of form. But it is very tricky to swap out a 5 million defender because there are 5 million forward because there aren't a lot of easy replacements, and so you typically have to burn 4 points to do it. So the question is Marshall worth burning 4 points for? And I guess if I was going to captain him this week, I guess it would be. I feel like point hits are worth it if you're going to captain the player you're bringing in. I mean, sometimes point hits are worth it just in general. But, you know, I don't know who the point hit would even be. You know, I mean, Hazard and Sanchez are on my team, and they're too expensive. And yeah. So they probably – one of the two has to go at some point, I would imagine. But, you know, like I have Ayew on my team who I'm thinking about transferring out. But I couldn't go down enough in money to turn Deeney into Marshall, you know? So,
right.
I think if I did it again, when I wildcarded, I would have had, like someone like Sacco, you know, on West Ham, someone who's around 6.5 million. Cause you can work with that kind of money, you know, but 5 is just a real tough spot. So, I couldn't really bring that if I wanted to, is where I am right now.
Well, so to round out my unpopular opinion, I'm still beside myself that 49,000 people are bringing in Mata. But right below him with 42,000 in is Ross Barkley, and that's got to be a much better pick, particularly with their fixtures turning in game week 11.
Yeah.
But say you have the money. Say, unlike Josh, you played your wild card very strategically and you've got some cash in the bank. De Bruyne or Hazard. Hazard looks so good in that Arsenal game, if he can keep that form. So Barkley, De Bruyne, and Hazard, those would be the midfielders that I'm definitely looking at.
Yeah. Okay, here's my – I like that. Okay, I'm going to mix it up, actually, from what we discussed before the podcast, Brandon. So get ready for it. Brace yourself against your desk. So the my unpopular opinion are the players that I'm, and this is sort of the reverse, is that these are players who people are bringing out, and it's not so much what we're seeing in the transferred in on the website, because I'm not sure that the website is always the most accurate reflection of the kind of thinking that's going on these forums. You know, I think that you know, you'll still see people get transferred in and out that run counter to what we're reading on the Fantasy Football Scout page or Transfer Hub or anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, the players that I am inclined to hold on to are the Swansea attackers. And I think that they've had 2 rough weeks in a row, but their fixtures aren't all that bad.
This is shocking to me. I'm actually really surprised to hear you say this.
Well, they have looked excellent all year. I mean, you know, Andre Ayew has 3 goals and an assist, looked fantastic against Man United just 2 weeks ago. Berafima Gomis has been fantastic all year, and they, you know, they ran into a Watford team that, as we've seen all year, you know, really holds their line at home. You know, plays very well at home, is happy to take, and you know, 0-0 draw. I mean, I know they won the game against Swansea 1-0, but they kind of got it against the run of play. The Everton team, it was such a closely, you know, someone could have scored in that game, and Ayew didn't look great.
Yeah, that was the most confusing thing to me about the Everton-Swansea game was Ayew was basically running around like, you know, with his head cut off. He was playing hero ball, basically. He was trying to do everything, and in the process found himself wildly out of position.
Yeah.
You'd see Sigurdsson receive the ball in the midfield, and Ayew would just take off down the field. Going back to my FIFA discussion, it's like playing FIFA with my friends online. The only place you want the ball is a position in which you can shoot it. And Ayew seemed to, his only move seemed to be toward goal and into the attack with no patience.
Yeah. I just think that there's this feeling a lot, you know, a feeling that you see, it feels very pervasive where someone has a good game, someone has a bad game. I mean, you got to make the move right away. And, you know, I mean, they're going to a Southampton team that looked pretty leaky against Man United. Then they have two fixtures at home. One against a Stoke team that is absolutely shipping goals right now. One against a Tottenham team that I wouldn't be very scared of on the road. I don't know. I just feel like a lot of people are bringing these guys out, and it's a little bit like, what have you done for me lately? Because I do think that they're going to come back around, and hopefully starting this weekend. Also, he didn't play in the midweek fixture, so I think he got a much-needed rest. I still actually may bring him out for Dimitri Payet.
Yeah.
I mean, this is sort of the question that I'm going to be thinking about all week, because I've got the money to do it, and even if Payet goes up a tenth, I can still make the move. So I'm not even sure where I am on this, but I'm certainly not planning to bring out both of the Swansea attackers.
It's a terrifying feeling, right? First, there's the terror of not getting on the bandwagon early enough and missing out on points. And the opposite is the terror of dumping somebody who you believe is out of form.
Yeah, because it seems like the player who most people are talking about bringing out for Marshall, I mean, either it's Christian Benteke or it's Befetambi Gomis. I wonder if I said that right that time.
Well, possible. Only Twitter will tell us. But yeah, Gomis, there you go. You got it. Gomis, he's got...
He goes by Tim to
Tim
his friends.
Gomis?
Tim Gomis. I bet they call him Tim in Swansea.
I think they might call him Gomi, like Hank Schrader's partner in Breaking Bad. Speaking of Gomis, he's got close to 82,000 transfers out. And yeah, I think you're right about that. At least half of those have to be people bringing in Martial.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, what do you think about Benteke? I mean, I know we'll get to this later, but are you worried about him? I mean, I guess you don't have him on your team. So
I don't, but
would you be making the move right now?
I would be worried, I suppose, which is weird because I know in the last episode of the podcast, I was really excited about Benteke. I think everyone had their tails up for that Norwich fixture, which came to nothing for Benteke owners. So I was actually really thankful that I still had my main man, Graciano Pella, leading my line.
I mean, I know we've been a little... ambivalent about Marshall so far in this podcast. But if I had Benteke, I would absolutely be using my move this week to turn Benteke into Marshall. I think that is a really easy move to make. I think there's a very good chance that Benteke isn't going to play this weekend. There was an interview with Brendan Rodgers where he said as much this afternoon. So I think that I don't know. You know, changing a Benteke who might not start into with fixtures that get quite a bit worse after that. They're away at Everton and Tottenham the 2 weeks and weeks 8 and 9. So bringing him in for Anthony Marshall, that's like even if it only works out for 1 week, it might be worth it.
Yeah, I think there was this impulse too to overlook how weird and unorganized the Liverpool squad was because Benteke is just such a larger than life figure and an imposing striker.
Yeah, I guess I don't. I mean, you probably understand formations a little better than me. I mean, how does it work with Sturridge and Benteke up front? I mean, is it like a 4-4-2 or something? Like what?
Well, I guess how you would play it is, and I'm not an expert, but you would play Benteke a little bit further forward, and Sturridge plays off of Benteke and has a little more freedom of movement and is probably closer into the midfield to receive the ball and take somebody in one-on-one. And then Benteke just plays off the shoulder of the last defender and waits for cross in or for Sturridge to play the ball to him or collect a rebound off of a Sturridge shot. I mean, if you're playing with Daniel Sturridge, that's your best chance to get the ball from him is off of a missed shot, right?
Which would augur for bringing in Sturridge? I mean, certainly we know that the guy is not afraid to shoot. So even if he's playing a little bit past Benteke, you'd think he could possibly get goals and assists. I mean, the problem, of course, is that his price is absolutely insane.
It is insane. That takes away from
10.4 now. I started at 10.5.
Do you see his ownership there? Because to me, one of the more exciting things that happened in that Liverpool game was seeing Sturridge get the start. And he could be some real juice for strikers in the FPL.
I feel like I don't even understand that price. I mean, he had – so I'm looking at his numbers from last year. I mean, he had 4 goals and 3 assists last season. I mean, he was injured, you know, much of the year. But just 10-5 is crazy to me. So Benteke must have been priced before he moved to Liverpool, right?
Yeah.
Was he still at Aston Villa and he was 8.5?
Yeah. I don't remember what the timing was, but that does sound absolutely correct.
Yeah, but 10-5, I mean...
So Sturridge gets that price because he's effectively the lone known quantity there.
Yeah, that just, to me, Sturridge is
I guess
like,
Ings had some data behind him from Burnley.
I could see 9 or 9.5, but 10.5 just means it's really impossible to bring him in.
He had
a hip replacement,
for God's sake, or whatever it was that he had.
Yeah, you would need... I mean, I would need to see – you'd need to see goals and assists in a couple matches in a row. I mean, I suppose if this Aguero thing never works out, then all of a sudden we've all got the money to start bringing in the Daniel Sturridges of the world.
So that's a little bit of strategy for you guys. Let's run down the actual action of Game Week 6 real quick. We had a few games that we wanted to zero in on, first of which was Chelsea hosting Arsenal. And man, the wind in our sails when we got the first pints of Guinness there at the Football Factory, we were loving it. And then Mike Dean pulls out the red card, and I got very angry. Weirdly,
it was just a strange series of events. I mean, first of all, I really was expecting a red card for Costa. I mean, just given, you know, obviously, you know, when you're at home, you can see the replays and you can see. You can see him grab like all these people's faces and push and just do all that stuff, you know, away from the camera. I mean, now it looks like he is probably going to get a retroactive 3-game ban.
Yeah.
So that's something to talk about too. Although I don't think he's very well. He's not a particularly
it's not
well
gonna,
on player. At
I
this
don't
point.
Think it's going to throw any teams into a downward spiral.
But yeah, it was a very strange game. Obviously once Gabriel, I mean, just classic Arsenal, right? I mean, no mental strength at all. I say that as an Arsenal fan, but it's true.
Well, yeah, it has to be Mourinho's plan. I mean, Chelsea has not been playing well, but Mourinho knows by reputation and by playing Wenger so many times and beating him so many times that Arsenal's great weakness is their emotional vulnerability.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, like, a la Cobra Kai, he told Costa to go out there and get on every last nerve of the defense and take them out of the game. And effectively putting Gabriel and Koscielny in a body bag.
I don't know if you listened to the Guardian's Football Weekly podcast this week, but they were talking about it really exposed sort of a leadership problem, too. I mean, if Mertesacker had been there, then he might have been able to go in there and break it up with Gabriel, but as it was, I mean, Sandy Cazorla was the captain that week. And
if Mertesacker was there, Gabriel wouldn't have been playing.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But take your point.
Yeah, there wasn't really a player who, you know, could just go in there and sort of boss things around and sort of
get
Costa there. You do what Jordan Henderson did for Liverpool a couple of, you know, was that last fall or spring?
It must have been.
There was a clip that was making the round where he basically, like,
he stared down Costa.
Put on a face. Yeah, exactly.
And this is the thing that drives me crazy about Costa. Yeah, like, hot take alert. I'm the first guy to have a hot take on Costa. But, it's great to have a villain in the Premier League. It's a lot of fun, and you can't blame any player for playing a mind game. It's a way to get an advantage. And the easy comparison is Luis Suarez, who, you know, bites people and is documented as being a racist and saying weird shit on the field. So he's kind of like not a cool guy, but also Suarez is a beautiful footballer. He wants to win the game, and when he's not being crazy, he's being a fantastic player.
Yeah, no one mixes lovable and crazy quite as well as Luis Suarez does.
Yeah, he's the Reese's peanut butter cup of villains. And
I don't actually know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what it means either. But then you've got Costa, where the duality of him, where he tries to act like he, anytime somebody touches him, he gets in their face like he's a big tough man, like, to him, it's all about let's be men and let's be athletes and be as physical as possible. And then what he resorts to ultimately in this Arsenal game are these petty mind games. And he gets tapped on the shin by Gabriel and he gets thrown into hyperdrive.
Yeah, I was amazed that the Gabriel red card got rescinded today. I guess he may apparently still get another red card for the way that he went off the pitch, or not a red card, but like a 1-3 game ban for his behavior.
Right. Yeah. He just stayed on the pitch for too long.
Yeah. Just so
resisting arrest, so to speak.
Yeah. So just, and obviously once he was out, the game had a completely different tenor. Not that I really expected Arsenal to win that game anyway, although it would have been nice if my 11 million midfielder Alexis Sanchez had done something. I was a little surprised that he got subbed out at the, the 74th minute. And I was a little surprised he got subbed out because you'd think with his speed, that he and...
Ivanovic.
Right. Well, he was tortured, and Ivanovic got a yellow card, just as we all might have, would have expected.
Sure, you could bank on that. I should have gone to DraftKings.
But you'd think that he and Walcott would be particularly valuable in a game like that where they're shorthanded. But maybe he was just worn down or something.
Yeah. So I don't know what the takeaways here are for our Arsenal assets. Like I was saying, I'm still stuck with Mesut Ozil, and strangely, I'm still not that down on Ozil. Yeah. I feel like he's still the pivot man in that offense going forward.
And you certainly wouldn't move him in advance of a game away to Leicester, right? I mean, that's a perfectly a fixture, if not quite a plum fixture, certainly a fixture where they could score.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so in a vacuum at this
point,
score. You own Alexis. Would you take Alexis over Ozil going into that Leicester game?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if only because the underlying
considering
stats
the price so, and the stats and all that.
Well, the price. I mean, just from a stat perspective, yes. I mean, if you told me I could take that 2.5 million and turn it into a striker, I don't know. I guess I probably would still hold on to Sanchez. I mean, the guy is so due. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, through six games, he has one assist, no goals, and he's getting so close again and again. It's an unhappy time to be an Arsenal fan. It's an equally unhappy time to have an Arsenal player on your fantasy team.
But you have to be encouraged by how Hazard looked this game. I mean, online you can see the stats of Hazard this season versus last season. He's famously a slow starter. Right around now is when he should be kicking into his typical Hazard style. And it seems to be the case.
Yeah, and the goal that he scored was really overdue. I mean, the second half of that game was all Hazard. I mean, totally bossing around, moving all around the pitch. I mean, it was like he had like a, just the second wind. I mean, he was so energetic.
Yeah, the goal itself was a bit of a fluke, but he should have had other goals coming to him. So I didn't feel it was unjustified that he got that goal.
Yeah, and it really, so this is it creates a sort of happy dilemma for me for this weekend, which is it's very tempting to captain Hazard away to Newcastle.
Absolutely, any team looks as bad as Sunderland, it's Newcastle right across the way.
If Diego Costa gets subbed or gets suspended, maybe it's a little less enticing. Possibly more though too, because he might play further forward. I mean, you could. I mean, I don't know. Is who's their backup? It looks like Remy has moved ahead of Falcao. I don't know. I think that I'm actually leaning towards captaining Hazard in that game. I think that would be. I mean, we can't just captain Aguero every single week, can we? I mean, can you just keep captain in the face of him not really even today? I mean, he scored a penalty, but. Everyone else in that Man City team performed better in the Capital One Cup.
Yeah, following the minute by minute.
Let's call it the League Cup, not the Capital One Cup. Capital One's not sponsoring this podcast.
No, we're not shills. Yeah, following the minute by minute on BBC, you could basically get the sense that everyone on that Man City team was having fun, but Aguero.
Yeah, it's I don't know. So we'll see. There are actually a lot of interesting captain options this week. If I bring in Payet, that would be a really tempting captain option as well. I mean. I don't know. It's a little bit like,
I got to tell you, I'm thinking about Russell Martin right now.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, why not? Right. No, there's something about, the way that, I don't know. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it almost feels like you could follow Sunderland and as a fantasy player, you could follow Sunderland and Newcastle around for the next few weeks and just captain whoever's playing them, because you know that it's going to be goals galore.
So that's Chelsea's first clean sheet, and they look to be turning around, much like Josh's FPL team. Then we had Midlands Derby, Villa, West Brom. Everyone who was calling out for you to get a West Brom defender turned out to be right.
Yep.
Thank you, Transfer Hub.
And I somehow nicked a bonus point in this game, which was kind of surprising. I got one bonus point for Micah Richards.
This is ludicrous. How does Micah Richards get a bonus point?
That was very strange.
Okay, so then Bournemouth, Sunderland. Bournemouth wins 2-0. Colin Wilson, of course, gets a goal
after all these many weeks of us. We're just really giving it to Callum Wilson for no particular reason. And he proved us wrong within 5 minutes of that match taking place or starting off.
Yeah. And then Matt Ritchie finally gets his goal, which was
a wonderstrike. Mm-hmm.
Newcastle loses to Watford. Troy Deeney gets you an assist, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Another five from Troy.
And then Ighalo. Am I saying that right? Of course not.
Ighalo, I think.
Ighalo, thank you. So he's got two goals. That guy's on fire.
Yeah. Clearly he was the guy to bring in, right? I mean, he does look good, too. I mean, it doesn't look like it's fluky. I mean,
he's second most transfers in for strikers at close to 72,000 in.
You're hoping it'll reverse at some point. At some point, Deeney will start getting these goals because their partnership up front is really working. And you keep seeing, I mean, it just again and again and again, Deeney feeds him the ball, and it's great. If Deeney were like a 5.5 million midfielder, he would be an invaluable player.
Yeah, for sure.
As a striker, it's a little frustrating, but he is getting attacking points. I mean, yeah, Gallo, I think, is a perfectly reasonable person to bring in, especially at his price. I mean, 5.1, it'd be very tempting if you had, I don't know, who would be the striker you would take out to bring him in? I mean, I'm not sure there's an obvious move there. I mean, I guess just, you could go right from Deeney to Ighalo.
You could Deeney to him, or, I mean, if you wanted to...
That seems like a very creative move.
If you wanted to be really smart and drop Wilson
get rid of that guy.
Just take a flyer that maybe Ighalo is going to outscore Wilson in the next few weeks.
Yeah, maybe turn that... I mean, honestly, you could probably move like Harry Kane into Ighalo and take that $4 million and invest it elsewhere.
Yeah. 2-2, Stoke and Leicester. Both of these teams completely suck at defense. Robert Huth continues to screw me. He's the guy who I can't get rid of. I can't seem to work him out of my team, and he's just like screwing me week after week.
Yeah, and Mahrez. I mean, that guy is just it was so odd. You know, we were there with another friend of ours who had captained Mahrez this week, and you know, it was like 0-0 at halftime, and it was 2-0 Stoke at halftime, and I was like, Trevor,
sorry, buddy.
Yeah, you gotta go with Aguero, obviously at home, and second half goal, assist, three bonus points. Did get a yellow card, I'll take that.
Yeah,
it was I have him on my team as well, so I was happy about it.
You could see it dawning on us into that second half. We're like, oh yeah, we could. It is within our power to captain Mahrez.
I think a lot of us thought the same way, right? I mean, you know, it's when you see this guy perform so consistently. It's really Mahrez that's driving the Aguero conversation. It's not even about necessarily captaining Mahrez, but just this idea that we're all so. I mean, this is what I was talking about earlier about Mata, but just the reverse is happening, is that we're all so blinded by what Aguero has done over the years, and the stats indicate that he is performing well. It's just I don't know about the last game. The last game was pretty poor for Aguero, although he did clock an assist. But just that it's blinding us to the idea that we could captain other players. And I think it's costing a lot of us. Well, it's obviously costing a lot of us a lot of points.
Yeah. The game we were all looking forward to, Swansea-Everton, was a decent enough game. There was enough action, but it was scoreless. I think we were all hoping for a little bit more, particularly FPL wise.
Yeah.
Though it just
once the Death Eater comes on, you know the game's over.
Yeah. What's Eater? Yeah. Yeah. That guy, he just looks a little bit. He's got a Grim Reaper quality to him.
And he does, and for some reason, Swansea never score once he goes on the pitch.
Yeah, the game. So it's like the game
is over. It's sort of the way that Mourinho brings on Johnny Obi Mikel when he wants the game to be over.
Yep.
It seems like that's what Gary Monk does. It's like Eater's on. Okay, game over. He's ostensibly a striker, but what he really is a game eater.
I continue to like the central defense for Everton though, and Galloway again had a pretty good game.
Yeah,
he was
4.5. Is that right? 4.5 million defender.
4.5, and he seemed to be in the 18-yard box on their offensive end almost every time they had the ball in there.
Yeah, did you know that Everton has a 4 million defender named Pennington, Matthew Pennington? Tell me anything about that guy. Yeah, so Leighton Baines still out, and do you know where Galloway's playing on the pitch?
He's on the left.
Okay, so Baines would replace him when he comes back, but it looks like he's out indefinitely, so you're probably safe there. I talked about this many times in the podcast, but we're getting pretty close to when you really want to start investing in two or three Everton assets, and we're probably still about 4 weeks away from that. I think game week 11 is when you really want to go for it.
Yeah, I'm stealing myself, not trying to jump the gun on Barkley. And
yeah, it's tempting. I mean, he's 6.9. How do you 6.9? He's climbing up there.
He's going up, up, up.
Yeah, it might be 7 by the weekend. So it's tempting. I don't know. Yeah, I think Paye to me is the obvious move though. If you're making a midfield move.
Okay, so we both captained Aguero. We followed the herd. We were following the law of averages. We were burned once again in this Man City West Ham match. Where
I mean, he had an open goal, and he shanked it.
he was quite far out. That was in the first half. The ball sort of fortuitously came to him.
This is the same Sergio Aguero who has scored from like the craziest angles from 40. I mean, when Aguero's on form, he makes that shot.
That's true. Yeah, he seems to be a little psyched out right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's, I mean, he played in the Copa America this summer, and maybe he came back a little too early. And I don't know. Just he and Alexis both are a little, maybe we underestimate the Copa America's
the
hangover.
I don't know what kind of altitude they have there in Chile, but
I think it's pretty high.
So I guess the big takeaway for City fans is De Bruyne looked terrific, and he looks to be central to that offense, particularly if Silva is out of the midfield.
Yeah, so De Bruyne is, it was funny because on the Twitter feed over the weekend, I was joking about how the Bundesliga assets are totally overvalued, and who could justify bringing in Son or De Bruyne, at their prices.
Yeah, 10.0 and 8.0.
And both of them delivered this weekend. De Bruyne looked great. Yeah, I think, 10.0 is still, it's still a lot of money, right? I mean, someone's got to go if you bring him in. Do you move Silva into De Bruyne? Do you turn Alexis Sanchez into De Bruyne? That's certainly something I'm thinking about. Do you turn Hazard if you still have him? I think I'm one of about eight managers that still has Hazard, but, I don't know. It's pretty interesting. And he looked good in this game too.
I feel like it'd be crazy to turn Hazard into De Bruyne after this weekend.
Well, after this weekend, yeah. Mm-hmm. But and Raheem Sterling looked really good in the League Cup today too. So
though he didn't start against West Ham, he didn't even play.
Yeah, I think he must have just had a rest, right? I mean, I don't think there was any injury issues there.
He is a very fragile man. He needs his sleep.
I mean, Navas cannot be starting anymore, right? I mean, that guy...
He sucks.
He was terrible. I mean, I really was surprised he didn't get subbed out in that game. I think did he play the full 90? I think yeah, he did. It was crazy. I mean, just crosses to nowhere. I mean, that guy's got one move.
So you cashed in on Victor Moses late in the season last year.
Yeah, and he was on my transfer deadline watch, the little Excel grid that I put together and put on the Always Cheating website. I mean, his price is great. The question was whether he was going to play every week, and it looks like he is. So, yeah. Someone to keep an eye out for. I mean, that was a really lethal strike.
It was lethal.
So fast.
But it's crushing that he got yanked at the 59th minute.
But he scored. Yeah, that is crushing. But he scored. Maybe they're just, you know, working him into the team still.
Yeah.
But 6 points in game week five, 6 points in game week six, 5.3 million midfielder. Very tempting.
And another assist for Dimitri Payet. He's up to 7.7 mil with still, I mean, he's such a bandwagon guy, but only owned by 16.5%.
And they're about to play at home to Norwich and then away to Sunderland over the next 2 weeks.
Damn.
Yeah.
Suddenly,
I felt the wheels turning in your head as I said that.
I was like, after not paying attention to this guy for so long, and mentioning that earlier in the pod, I'm suddenly feeling very desperate to have this guy in my team. So that City, they lose their first clean sheet of the season. They lose the first game of the season. But Kolarov ended up with 0 points.
Yeah, that was a great move, turning Azpilicueta into Kolarov. Pretty thrilled about how that worked out.
Well, this was the first week where I got to be vindicated fielding Joe Hart over Kolarov, where I got 1 point over 0 points. So
yeah, there you go.
There's mud in your eye.
It works out over the course of the year.
I'm sure it will. So anything else to say about City West Ham?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so Spurs, Crystal Palace. Spurs win 1-0. You mentioned Son comes in and proves his worth at 8.0. He looked like a terror on that field.
It's funny how quickly things change. I mean, if I guess I just didn't know enough about him, really. I mean, I don't follow the Bundesliga very closely. Despite it really, do you feel as an American that the Bundesliga is getting really jammed down your throat this year? I feel like I am seeing more promos for the Bundesliga. Just why would I follow the Bundesliga? Like, I don't like, why would I follow a league where only one team can win every year?
Lewandowski, you know, I mean, scores 5 goals in 9 minutes. Goals. It's ludicrous.
I mean, I guess I suppose there's, I don't totally believe what I just said, because it's fun to, sometimes it's just fun to watch. I mean, obviously there are a lot of the crowds are great and the, you know, yeah, everything. Yeah, I mean, like it's always going to be a race for second place in the Bundesliga, but it's certainly fun to watch, Rhein Derby or something like that.
The league is not without its history, and like you said, they have great fans.
Or is it the Ruhr Derby? You know what I'm talking about.
The Rural Juror?
The Rural Juror. with Borussia Dortmund and Schalke.
Dude, don't come to me asking for facts about Bundesliga, because I do not have them.
We literally did a podcast about this on our last podcast about the Ruhr Derby.
On the Crosstown Derby podcast?
On the Crosstown Derby, yeah.
Don't worry, people. You can't find it anywhere. I have no memory. I showed up to every one of those podcasts with zero preparation. I maybe read half a Wikipedia page on the subway, and that was the extent of it.
Those podcasts are basically me interviewing myself about famous derbies.
All right, so Crystal Palace, tough loss for them. Bolasie, I know a lot of managers are keen on Bolasie. I thought he looked terrible. He was trying to do everything himself. His teammates looked like they hated his guts.
We knew this was coming with Crystal Palace, because they had this really tough run of games coming up. It'll be interesting. I think, yeah, I mean, really starting this week, the fixtures get a lot better. I mean, they're away to Watford, home to West Brom, home to West Ham, away to Leicester, then Man U at home, which, you know, there could be some goals in that game. And then they have Sunderland and Newcastle home back-to-back in game weeks 13 and 14.
Yeah. I don't know. I cast off Joel Ward, so I stopped caring.
Yeah. Bakary Saka is the one that I'm definitely keeping an eye on still. But maybe, I mean, Saka, 5.6 million, away to Watford. That's kind of tempting.
Sure, do it.
So one possible move that I could do is not burn a transfer this week and turn IU into Sacco, and that would give me some more money to play around with and turn Dini into somebody else. So I don't know. I love having those two transfers.
Let's be honest. There's no way you're doing that.
No, not in a million years.
It sounds good on paper, but there's just no way you're doing
That's true. I'm more likely to turn Alexis Sanchez into him.
I love how I set myself up with a nice segue. Sounds good on paper. Liverpool, Norwich. Mm-hmm. All those poor people who captain Benteke. He's out at halftime, and the scoreline ends up 1-1.
Yeah.
And speaking of poor people, I burned 4 points to bring in Nathaniel Klein.
I know. I thought I was so clever bringing in Martin Skrtel a couple weeks ago. I mean, I knew that I felt like Gomez was on the way out, and so I was like, I'll pay for the consistency. I thought Nathaniel Klein looked better than Martin Skrull, actually. I mean, Klein looked dangerous in that game.
Yeah, that is another unpopular opinion. And I posed this question to our friends at Transfer Hub, and they talked me into getting Dawson on West Brom, which was great. Totally worked out for me. But I still stuck to my guns and ended up burning 4 points to get Klein in. And that guy's due. He's due for some points. They've got some tough fixtures coming up.
He was so good on Southampton last year.
Yeah, I feel like there's always a point with this with the Brendan Rodgers Liverpool team, where they'll put two or three games together, and hopefully Klein will be a part of some sort of upswing.
Yeah, I mean, last year for Southampton, Klein had two goals, two assists, 15 bonus points. So yeah, he's definitely going to deliver. And at 5.5 million, he's a pretty reasonable player. I feel very disappointed, because I had brought in Skrull with the idea that I could ride all these fixtures. I mean, they had, home to West Ham, home to Norwich. Next week, they're home to Aston Villa. I mean, that seemed like three out of four really good home fixtures. And, the equalizer was just you could see it happening. Like, the second they got a corner, they won a corner, I knew something bad was going to happen.
And it stings even worse because everybody has George R. Russell Martin, Dances with Dragons, on their bench, buried on their bench. I mean, thank God Mark Albrighton gets to
have so it took a crazy scenario where, you know, Silva didn't play and Raheem Sterling didn't play and Gomez didn't play to even bring in Martin, and suddenly everyone's – what, did he get 9 points in that game?
Yeah, he did. He ended up with one bonus on top of the goal. And so I lose the clean sheet. This is the third goal that Martin has scored in the season.
Yeah, you burned 4 points and you didn't get the nine from Martin.
I would have taken you in our head-to-head had I just not burned the four and, you know – played Martin. And that goes with my age-old theory, which I often bring up, is just trust the attacking power of your defenders in your squad.
It was a very cheeky goal for Martin. That has to be chipped just weighted just right, you know? I mean, the way it just is, you could, like, it was the worst part, if you had Liverpool defenders, you could see it in slow motion. I mean, you could see the ball just sort of floating over Mignolet's outstretched hands, and nothing he could do.
So if Martin is on my bench, he's guaranteed to score. He's been on my bench for all three of those goals. Fortunately, one time he got subbed into my squad to score a goal. But
Gomez, I mean, he's you would think he's lost his place, right? I mean, Moreno looked really good in that game, had the assist and the Ings goal.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see tomorrow in the League Cup, but I would expect that's it for Gomez, for at least for a while.
Okay, our last fixture that we wanted to talk about, the last fixture of the game week, Southampton hosting Manchester United, and ends up 2-3.
Yeah, and I feel like we've talked about Martial pretty extensively, so I don't know if we need to go into that too much. The thing about Martial, and you know, we talked about this a little bit over the weekend when we were at the Football Factory, is, you know, it's there just aren't a lot of striking options right now. You know, there aren't a lot of players that you can bring in who are consistently delivering. So it's if this were a normal season where you had 5, 6, 7 players who were all who you're kind of bringing in and out. I mean, I guess even Pele, who was very inconsistent in the second half of last year, is one of the more consistent players. You know, so when someone comes around who's not that expensive, who's playing at home to Sunderland, it's very hard to resist.
Yeah, Pele looked great in this game. I mean, I felt really lucky. I mean, honestly, I was praying for a hat trick before this game even started. So he puts the goal in, like, within, I don't know how, very early in the game, and I'm thinking, great, it's on, let's do this. And then, like, a few minutes after he put in that rebound off of De Gea, he was in on goal, and he put the shot off the post.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, barely missed.
I was really feeling it there.
That was like an inside the post miss too. You know, sometimes it's off the post, but it's kind of a glances off the post. I mean, that should have been a goal.
Yeah, he didn't finish very well there. But I don't know, Pele is just such a weird guy to own, because when he's great, he's great, and when he's not, it's not that he's terrible. He's just terribly frustrating.
Yeah, and it turns out that Mane was a guy worth holding the line on, too. I mean, you know, it's just strange with him. Why did he only play 24 minutes in game week 5? Maybe he traveled far for the international break. But, you know, 11 points in game week 4, 9 points in game week 6. You know, their fixtures, Southampton's fixtures the next few weeks are not too bad. They're kind of a mixed bag. Swansea at home, Chelsea away, Leicester at home, Liverpool away, Bournemouth at home, Sunderland away. So that's over the next 6 weeks. I mean, I four of those are pretty good, though.
Yeah, I mean, their offense looks to be clicking. It looks very organized. Organized.
And even Liverpool away, I'm not sure how scared of that match I'd be. Really, just Chelsea away.
Yeah. And then, of course, you got to consider Juan Mata. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
We have to mention De Gea, right? I mean, that guy's, he had even though he let in two goals, he had an amazing game. He almost stopped that rebounded shot from Pele to open up the scoring, too.
Oh, the question is just, you know, whether, I mean, it's 5.4, and is this team going to take a big drop now that Luke Shaw's gone? You know, I mean, that's really the question. I mean, he actually hasn't kept a clean sheet so far. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's not a lot he could do on that Benteke goal. In game week 5. You're a little more inclined to take an expensive defender or expensive goalkeeper than I am. I like 5 million sort of where I max out. But I thought he looked great from a like actual real life soccer perspective, but from a fantasy point of view, I'm not sure I'd want him on my team.
All right. Should we just run through these game week 7 fixtures before we sign off?
Yeah, let's take a quick look. Early morning Saturday, we got Spurs, Man City.
Captain Aguero. Triple captain.
Triple captain Aguero and triple captain Son, too. Yeah. What?
Double triple captain. Capital.
Yeah, double triple captain.
Was it at White Hart Lane last season where Aguero scored 4 goals?
Yeah,
or 3 goals and an assist or whatever it was.
Was that the match where you showed up and I had...
You almost kicked me out of your house.
I was so mad. I had gone back and forth and captained him. We can't talk about that game. That was too painful. So, yeah, he has... I don't read too much into that. I mean, yeah, he has a good record against them. I don't know. Hoot. It's the early morning game, though. You know, I don't know.
No, but yeah, exactly. You can't captain the early morning game because that sucks all the fun out of it.
Such a day ruiner. I know.
I mean, the only way you're happy in that situation is if you get a hat trick out of your captain.
Yeah, I really don't know what to do about Aguero right now. Because the problem is it's just so nerve-wracking, you know? I mean, because you know he's going to go off at some point, but how many weeks in a row can you pass up better captain options in the face of him eventually going off?
Yeah, the solution is easy. Just keep him in your squad and don't captain him
until he hits
form, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, next match is Leicester-Arsenal. I'd expect lots of goals in this game. I would expect Arsenal to... I would expect them to win this game. I know that Leicester has been playing kind of heroically the last few weeks. But this is the kind of game that Arsenal typically wins, right? Especially, you know, a tough loss. I think that Cazorla will be back, right? Because his
ban is
only a one game suspension.
Which served in the league
tomorrow.
Cup.
Yeah, does hurt him in that North London derby, though. So I think this game is a little tricky too because we'll see who. I would expect him to play pretty much the full squad tomorrow. For the North London derby. Although honestly, he shouldn't, right? Because who cares?
Should. Yeah, I mean,
if he loses to Spurs in the League Cup, you know, it does not matter. Chelsea match was just one game. They had been playing better, but you know they had been playing better in the league. But it's been a tough week for Arsenal fans.
Yeah, I agree. So I mean, Robert Huth is not going to hold the line. He never does. Yeah.
Let's say like this game could be like 3-2 Arsenal. I could see something like that. And Mahrez will have a goal and an assist.
I predict 3-1 Arsenal.
Okay. All right. Liverpool, Aston Villa. Liverpool will not be keeping a clean sheet. Oh, so I feel like I kind of buried the lead on this, Brandon. But as we discovered over the weekend, to my horror, somehow through the first 6 weeks of the season, not a single player on my team has kept a clean sheet. Not a single defender. Maybe midfielders have, but no defenders somehow. It hardly seems possible, does it?
It's remarkable. It is truly remarkable. I did not believe you when you brought this up over the weekend.
I mean, you would have to, like... If you were just randomly picking players, you would have had more clean sheets than FS. I've actually had a lot of goals and assists.
Right.
Like, it hasn't been a complete disaster. I mean,
you got an assist from Butland.
Yeah, and 2 bonus points.
So he's actually getting more points than he would just on a typical clean sheet day.
Yeah, so just very, very odd. I'm chasing, right? I mean, I brought in Kolarov this week and it didn't work out. And I had Martin Skrtel at home to Norwich and that didn't work out. So I really, I don't know what's happening right now. There aren't a lot of clean sheets in the league, I will say, in general.
No, and I'm not one to predict, but I would feel pretty good about a Liverpool clean sheet against Villa.
Yeah, I'm going to say 1-1. I think another crummy 1-1 draw is in the cards.
All right.
Man U Sunderland. How about 5-1 Man U?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Martial getting 5 goals in 7 minutes just to top Lewandowski.
Yeah, we've talked for 40 minutes about Man U in this game, so we'll move on here. Nothing to say about Sunderland. Next match is Southampton-Swansea. This is a really interesting match. This is actually very similar to the Everton-Swansea match last week.
Yeah, agreed.
It seems like it could be a really interesting game. I was just talking up the Swansea assets. I do think they'll score in this match. I don't know. It just it's hard to predict this one. You know, I mean, the teams, is Southampton having a good season or not? I mean, they look like they're okay sometimes. And I don't know. Let's say like a 1-1 game or something like that.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think this is the reason to hang on to Gomez. I'm not sure about AU based on that Everton game, but I like Gomez to score in this game. And I also like Pele to score in this game.
All right. Next match is Stoke versus Callum Wilson's Bournemouth. And I imagine that Wilson will score 7 goals in this game. No, I don't know. I think Stoke is letting – I mean, there is – it is crazy how much that team has changed. I mean, they are letting in goals like – it's hard to shake the Pulis from this team, right? I mean, I still have this idea of Huth and who's the other
– Shawcross.
Yeah, Huth and Shawcross. You know, this like – late night, you know, midweek fixtures, like just terrors. And yeah, it just, I mean, there's no solidity right now in that defense.
Yeah, if Jeff Cameron.
Although Butler looks great.
But he's a save machine, that dude.
Mm-hmm. And an assist machine. I guess they're integrating a lot of new players, and they're clearly trying to develop a new, more interesting and attacking style of play. And I think they're willing to pay the price of a little less defensive solidity to do it. So
I don't think I'd be terribly disappointed if I was a Stoke fan.
If I were a Stoke fan, I'd be thrilled. I mean, I know they're not winning quite as much as they might like, but they have no chance of being relegated this year. I mean, they've been like hovering between 10th and 15th for years. You know, why not? You know, I don't know. Why not break things up and reform them and bring in some new people, and maybe you lose and draw a few games early on that you shouldn't, but. You know, I like the direction they're going.
Absolutely. The fans are crying out for this when...
And Shaqiri, you know, I think Shaqiri will be an interesting player at some point, too. You know, so I don't know. But too early to bring in Shaqiri, clearly.
Agreed.
All right. West Ham and Norwich is the final 10 o'clock fixture. Norwich, you know, was pretty impressive in their game against Liverpool. I mean, they looked like they could have scored a few different times, especially in the first half of that game.
Yeah.
My very sadly, Dia Mercy Mopakani has not yet featured, and I don't really know why. I mean, that guy is going to be he's going to be scoring conservatively, right? Let's be conservative here.
Okay, you can
75 to 115 goals over the course of the season.
You're really going to dazzle everyone with your ability to pronounce that guy's name. I predict a 0-0 draw in this game.
Wow.
Winston Reid looked like the man against Manchester City. He was in front of every ball coming.
Yeah, he had a great game.
At Adrian. He had a fantastic game.
You know what? I take it back. Oh, no. So Mopakani did not feature against Liverpool. He did get 9 minutes against Bournemouth. Nine very dangerous minutes.
And he failed to score?
Well, did he fail to score? I mean, he did what he had.
He scored with you in some fashion.
Yeah, Mopakani did what had to be done.
I don't know why.
Yeah, a 3-1 victory.
I don't know, but my gut is telling me 0-0 draw in this game, West Ham-Norwich.
All right. Interesting pick. I think that West Ham is going to I don't know. I mean, the best games they played this year have been games on the road against the top teams in the league. But I do think – I don't know. They're playing really well right now. I would expect them to win something like 2 or 3-0.
Yeah.
Okay, so that brings us to the 12:30 fixture here in the States, and that is Newcastle-Chelsea. We have to think that Chelsea's – it's happening, right? The big turnaround?
Yeah, based on one game. And I don't
know. I mean, they look good against Maccabi Tel Aviv, too, in the Champions League.
Yeah, they have to be thrilled to have kept a clean sheet there. And Hazard looked fantastic. I fear for anybody playing head-to-head against somebody who has Hazard this week.
Yeah, I mean, this is where my inherent conservative nature is hopefully going to work out for me, because I've been holding the line on Hazard for so long. And it finally did pan out this week. And so, I mean, you couldn't ask for much more than an away game to Newcastle.
Yeah,
so given how Newcastle have played so far this year.
So what are you guessing, like 4 goals for Chelsea?
I think they could score 4 goals. I guess without Costa, maybe they, you know, even without Costa. Yeah, I'll predict a 4-1 Chelsea win.
Yeah. I predict a 4-1 Chelsea win, and I predict that actually Loic Remy is going to reap most of the benefits, and Hazard will have lots of assists to the assists.
Okay, yeah, that's possible. So he'll get like one bonus point.
Yeah, sorry about that, Josh.
All right, so that brings us to the Sunday match. Only one match on Sunday. It's kind of a weird. I don't really understand the setups. Do you? I mean, so for some reason there are 8 games this week, and then one on Sunday, one on Monday.
I assume it means like there's probably a hockey game happening at one of these stadiums on Sunday.
The Rugby World Cup or something. I know that there are more Sunday fixtures when there are. When there are Europa League fixtures, but everything else, it doesn't really make sense. So anyway, Watford is at home to Crystal Palace. Would expect goals from both sides in this game. Expect another 5-point game from Troy Deeney.
he gets his goal in this game for me.
Yeah. All right. And that brings us to the final game, which is West Brom Everton on Monday.
Gosh.
Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I suppose it's going to be West Brom is tough to break down at home. As we know, their defense looks really solid. And I mean, Everton had a tough time breaking down Swansea over the weekend. Lukaku doesn't seem to be firing yet. He looks good enough on the ball, but he's being his typical Lukaku self, where he just has trouble making a sensible decision when he receives the ball.
Yeah. I just have this feeling it's going to be a boring game. I mean, I don't know if that's just the Pulis in me, or the Pulis, my knowledge of Pulis, or maybe I just want to keep saying the word touch of Pulis. Maybe I just want to keep saying the word Pulis again and again. I could see this being like I could see Everton winning, though. I'll go on a limb and say a 1-0 Everton win.
Yeah, I'd buy it. I mean, Ross Barkley's on fire right now. Mm-hmm. He scored today in the League Cup. He was bossing it against Swansea, even though he kind of refused to pass the ball at any point.
Are you really thinking about AU to Barkley?
Yeah, I won't do it this week. Mm-hmm. I really don't think I will. It's just one that I just really like the look of Barkley, but.
And you want to justify that Dawson move that you made?
I do want to justify it. Yeah. So yeah, guaranteed Dawson will keep a clean sheet and score off a corner kick. It's no problem.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was, I think this is like record time for us.
It is record time. It's probably like our first 15-minute podcast.
All right, Brandon. So I'm looking forward to this weekend's fixtures. I'm looking forward to building on my 54-point week, possibly cracking the top 2 million. I mean, that, you know, one can dream, right?
I think it's within your grasp. You have to keep the turnaround going. It's within your grasp.
I do like this narrative of me climbing literally millions of spots to try to get up into a respectable number.
We were talking about the Hail Cheaters Public League earlier. You can still sign up. The league code is at our website at alwayscheating.com. Just hit the league button there. And there's
the auto join button there. And then there's also the league code's also in our Twitter feed.
Yeah. And the Twitter is at Hail Cheaters. So find us there. We're usually tweeting during the games or at any point during the day. And you can hit us up with questions and comments there. And we can bring it up for discussion on the next episode of Always Cheating.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Brandon.
Cool. Oh, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I forgot to also mention last week we're available on Stitcher Radio, so you can subscribe there too, and feel free to leave us a review.
All right. Well, hail Poku.
Poku forever.
Mm-hmm.